This is the Best Run Podcast, brought to you by SAP.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Best Run Podcast. This time, we're going to be talking to a number of people associated with the world's largest fun run. And as a Sydneysider, I'm very excited because we have the Sun Herald City to Surf coming up on the 18th of October. And I have with me Jeremy Khan, who is the Director of Global Partnerships at Ironman Oceania, Chris Edwards, who's a City to Surf legend, so we'll get into what that means, and Brian Orloff, who is the Business Innovation Strategist for SAP. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Now, Jeremy, I would like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. I understand that Ironman actually started not with a running, but with another global endurance sport. So can you give us a bit of a background about yourself and also Ironman?
Sure. Well, look, I've been in the sports marketing sponsorship roles for, dare I say it, some 30 years, working across sport, major events and teams, and fortunate now to be working with the global operation that is Ironman. And as you alluded, Ironman started out as an Ironman event in Hawaii some time ago, back in the 70s, and is now we're a massive global mass participation event from triathlons, Ironman, obviously, road running, trail running, cycling and mountain biking events, across 57 countries and over a million participants per year. And we're fortunate, and it's just such a great to be able to have the City to Surf event, the world's biggest fun run, which last year had 85,000, and we were hoping that sort of number this year, but unfortunately it's a virtual event running this weekend. But it's a great event to be a part of.
Great, thanks, Jeremy. And Chris, you've got your title, City to Surf legend. Now, I think everyone would like to have legend in their title. So can you tell us a little bit about what that means? And I understand you're the youngest of one of the City to Surf legends as well.
Yeah, well, the title was given to us in 1985 after the 15th, and the organiser, which was the Sun newspaper then, they had a big function, and there were 54 so-called legends, meaning people who'd run at that time 15. So I think there's 24 of us left now still running it. So, yes, we've done all 49.
Amazing. And so 49 years of running, that is quite an achievement. And I understand you've also just authored a book.
I wrote one on the history of the City to Surf in 2013. And I have another one which was intended to be launched about the 50th. But we stopped production on that because we had no idea what was going to happen.
Yes, COVID's actually impacted everyone in lots of different ways, hasn't it?
It certainly has, yeah. We'll probably bring it out next year, I would imagine.
Great. And Brian, how about yourself?
Well, I have the fortunate position to be working with our customers and helping them leverage innovation. So that's new and emerging technology to help them orchestrate their business processes in a more intelligent manner and also leverage data and analytics for better outcomes. And I have a passion for data and analytics, and I also have a passion for sports. So that gives me an opportunity to bring those two together and participate in events like the City to Surf to try and analyze the information and try to pull out interesting facts and insight to help from whether you're a race organizer or whether you're a runner to actually perform better.
Yeah, and your team's been involved with providing race insights before. So, we've done the Melbourne Marathon before. Some great stats come out of there. So we're really looking forward to seeing what you put out from the City to Surf partnership. Let's just get into a little bit about the Ironman Oceania Group and how COVID has actually impacted the event portfolio. So Jeremy, being running events all over the world, obviously with COVID has been a bit troublesome. Do you want to give a bit of insights as to how you've tackled running them in these circumstances?
Sure. Well, look, back in March when it sort of all went a little bit pear-shaped, we'd just come off running Mooloolaba Triathlon and an ultra trail running event in New Zealand, and we were unsure whether those events would get off. They got off quite successfully, and then pretty much the world for us really caved in across the world and obviously impacting us here in Australia and New Zealand. And it's been a tough 6 months or so. We postponed the bulk of our events with a view that hopefully we can run them in the latter part of the year. And as the cases have got worse around the world, we've and have to you know, we've had to cancel a number of events. However, I like to look at it, you know, the glass is half full, and you know, we've been fortunate enough to come back slowly but surely, and we were fortunate over the last couple of weeks to have run our Sunshine Coast 70.3 event and our Cairns Airport Ironman event in Cairns about 2 weekends ago. So we're slowly getting back into the event game. There are a lot of elements that have changed significantly and dramatically. Obviously, our international audiences are not obviously able to participate, and that certainly impacted our Cairns numbers. Cairns is a big international event where we get, you know, a lot of numbers from around the world. But look, our operations team had done an amazing job in preparing not only the documentation, but then executing the requirements to run a COVID-safe event, from social distancing to hygiene to, you know, when you look at a nine-man event, you know, with the space that we use up and trying to manage spectators, you know, the guys did an amazing job in getting those events up. So we're certainly not out of the woods, but it's just a very different event. You know, I think we're going to have to take these COVID plans into all of our events for, you know, the near future. We're also fortunate that, you know, New Zealand's in a very good place in relation to COVID. So we'll be running Auckland and Queenstown marathons, you know, next month, which is a great fillip for the company. So, you know, whilst it's been a tough 6 months, we're slowly getting back on our feet, albeit the events are very, very different, and they'll probably look very different going on into the future.
Yeah, and of course, this is the 50th year running that the Citadel serves. So, you know, you guys have done a great job in pivoting to make it a digital event. So congratulations.
Yeah, look, that was a tough one. And we were certainly holding out hope that by, you know, October, we might be right to run the events with a COVID-safe plan. But, you know, running the world's largest event of 85,000 people, it was probably unlikely to happen. We had contingency plans on a 10,000 person, a 20,000 person, a 50,000 person. But, you know, the realities were that when the New South Wales government were not going to change or amend the public health order, it was going to look increasingly difficult to run a physical event. And, you know, we have run an Ironman event VR. Our global team pivoted exceptionally well in running a VR Ironman event series and are still doing that at the moment. The team would actually be in Kona for the Ironman World Championships this week, but there's an Ironman VR Kona series going on as we speak, and we've learned a lot of their lessons on running a VR campaign, and you know, excited when it wasn't going to happen, the team pivoted again. Our marketing team did a great job in putting the plan together, putting a VR component in place. And yeah, we're delighted that the numbers are looking really, really strong. And you know, this weekend, there'll be tens of thousands of people running around Australia and the world in a VR capacity, which is yeah, great for the company. And at least we're working on an event of some description.
Yeah, and Chris, having run 49 City to Serves before, you're looking forward to the 50th one?
You know, we sort of celebrated the 50th on Father's Day in September, because that was when the first one was held in 5th of September 71. And, of course, they moved it forward because of the weather, because they wanted to get out of the hotter weather. And, you know, a few of my friends went and did it on that day. And one of the legends actually run the course on that particular day, just so that he could say he's done his 50. But, you know, I'll be taking it pretty easy and just doing it with a few friends around Canberra.
Great. Now, I believe this even runs, pardon the pun, in your family. I believe your grandmother was also a member of the First City to Surf organising committee. Is that right?
Yeah, she was on the organising committee, because the first one was actually, well, the first, I think, 20 or so were organised by the Athletic Association, which is now Athletics Australia. So, and the major sponsor was the Sun newspaper. Back in those days, there was a men's association and a women's association. And it was actually the men's association that organised it. And my grandmother was on the organising board, or rather of the New South Wales Women's Amateur Athletic Association. And they decided with the Sun newspapers, I guess, had some influence on this, they decided to pull the women into it as well. So she and another lady called Ruth Frith were on the original organising committee as representatives for women and the Women's Athletic Association.
Amazing.
So in the first one, it was actually, it was more men that ran, and I think you'll know the stats on this, but there were 76 women in the first event. The first event had 1,576 starters and 1,495 actually officially finished. And of those, I think only one woman didn't make it. So I think there were 75 women that actually finished. And, of course, we know it's a completely different story today as far as women's fitness and health is concerned. But, yes, she was on the organising committee for the first 10 years until she had a stroke.
Wow. Mm. And you must have seen some very interesting and even quirky, amusing things over the last 49 years. So do you have any memories that you want to recount?
Well, look, there's been many. I mean, I've had mine, but there's also been many others. And you've got to remember that in the very early days, this was a very unusual thing to do. And 1,500 people running down through the streets of Sydney back in those days was absolutely unheard of. And you'll know that the event was inspired by the Beta Breakers in San Francisco, which had been going for quite a few years before that. And even in 1971, the Cedar Surf had twice as many people in it as the Beta Breakers. The Beta Breakers that year had 700 and something finishes. And we had, you know, 1,500. So it set the bar really at that point, right from day one. But there's been so many things. In the old days, we had to run on the right-hand side of the road. So you had to be running against the traffic. They stopped the traffic 10 minutes before the runners came through. So there was a couple of police motorbikes in the front of the field and they pushed the traffic off the side of the road. So in the first few years, we were running along with cars sitting there idling. So you're breathing in all this lead-based carbon monoxide. And it was pretty terrible, really, when you think about it. But, yeah, a lot of people were very upset that they couldn't continue driving till all these people had passed. But I guess the crowd was nowhere near as long in those days. And there was another motorbike at the end of the field letting people back onto the road. And, you know, there's quite a few funny things happened. Like I remember one guy backing out of his driveway right in front of some bloke that was running down the footpath. And he literally up and put one foot on the guy's boot and sort of went over it like a steeplechase. And there was another guy at Double Bay, I think it was, who a fruiterer who was putting out all his fruit. And all these runners came past and started taking his apples and oranges. But, yeah, there's been a lot of funny things happen.
And Brian, so you're leading the SAP Data Digitisation Project and you've been working with Jeremy and the team at Ironman. Can you tell us a bit more about the project and the technology you're using and how you're visualizing the data?
Yeah, so it's been a very interesting project. I was, when this first came about early in the year, I was very excited, you know, working on previous other running events and other sporting events within SAP. And this was had its unique challenges, and I'm fortunate enough to work with a very talented team to help ingest the data. So I think the challenges that were set out by the City to Serve team was to, they wanted to better understand the 49 years worth of results that have happened since 1971 through to 2019 and understand the demographics, who's running the race, where they are from, what is their performance. And one of the key questions as well was, you know, how many people ran the race multiple times? You know, we heard from Chris that has run, you know, part of the legends, the 24 legends that have run every year for the past 49 and now 50 years. How do you identify those people? So, and the data that was, I guess, collected from the early days to now was in different various formats, shapes, and sizes. So, see, in the early part of the race history, so 1971 through to 1999, most of the results that we received were only in a scanned newspaper format. There's other types of formats available, but the most comprehensive set was, you know, when they first ran the race, they would actually print the results and they would publish that in the newspaper. So that was really what we had to go on. So a combination of the images, a number of text files, Excel files, so different formats over the years. So we use various technologies. When you're looking at the images, we had to read those through with machine learning, artificial intelligence, to try and extract the text, so the names, And then the numbers as well for where they place and the time that they ran the race in. So we use machine learning to extract that, applying business rules and some robotic process automation to process the data, so pre and post. So once we got the results, we had to sort of clean it up a little bit. And then we were able to ingest that data using data intelligence or our data pipelining tool into the a common repository, which is SAP HANA. And then from there, run some additional machine learning algorithms to try to identify, okay, we have these names that are common, but how do we identify who is who and are they the same person? Right. So we use attributes that we had, like say we had date of birth, we had postcode, but those things, so postcode changes and sometimes the last name changes as well. So how do you match up the attributes effectively? And also working with some of the data, some of the birth dates were actually transposed. So trying to use a combination of different techniques to try and get that list. And then from a visualization standpoint, the data really comes alive and you can really ask a lot of questions when you can visualize it, right? So we're using our analytics cloud tool to actually tap into that data and ask and answer questions from, you know, the race demographics, the performance over the years. And when you look at things at a individual year, it presents some interesting data. But when you look at it at an aggregate across 49 years, it presents some really amazing stats, like the total number of entrants over the past 49 years is, you know, over 2.25 million participants, which is great. And as Chris mentioned, the demographics, the makeup in the early years, the female participation was very low. And then over the years, like in 1983, you saw a big uptick, which was interesting. But then in years 2011, 12, and 13, the number of female participants actually outnumbered the male participants, which is fantastic. So in an average over the last 10 years, it's really 50-50, which is really great to see. And then you can, if you kind of even peel back even further, you can see that in 2011, 12, and 13, that the average performance for females in a certain demographic, the 20 to 29, actually performed better than previous and post that time frame. So there's, you can see some different trends and patterns form in the data.
And I understand there was a spike in numbers in some years, and 1983 in particular stands out. Chris, do you know why that particular year might have had a spike?
Sure. And I think Brian just mentioned it was women entering. It was a massive spike of women entering because we had at that time Jane Fonda workout tapes and Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical and all of that sort of stuff was really inspiring women to, you know, go to the gym, and people were taking up aerobics and all that sort of thing. So it became a real focus, which it hadn't been before then. And so you had a lot of aerobics classes entering as groups. And also I think the marketing was probably just that little bit better as they started to, I guess, build it up a bit more. One thing, it's a bit of a shame, and I had a chat with Brian a few weeks or a month ago about this, but the Cedars Surf was actually the first event that was fully computerized, and it's a real shame that we have this technology kind of lag, and I guess it's the transition as we, you know, technology developed. But right since day one, the Cedars Surf was computerized results, and it was all done on the Sun newspaper's mainframe computer. So there were boxes and boxes of these printouts, and it all would have been digital somewhere at some point, but who knows where that is. It may be copies of those printouts with some of the early people that are still around. I don't know.
And Jeremy, this data analysis obviously helping you and the team at Ironman. Are there any insights that you've come across that surprised you?
Look, I think surprise is probably not the right word. I mean, look, it's a great project and it's ongoing, so there'll be more stuff to come. But I think, you know, I think the stat that we have all just spoken about is, you know, the female participation. You know, when it started out 4% female, it's now, you know, 49-51. So, I mean, that's a great stat, and that looks like it's going to continue on. And when you sort of compare that to our Ironman events, yeah, that's about 80-20 male-female, and we've got a project that we're really working on to try and drive more women in Ironman events. So you know, I think when you look at our involvement in women in sport, we're really encouraging a lot of women to get active, and whether it be a city surf or an Ironman event, we're certainly encouraging women to take off. You know, other stats like, you know, average speed, you know, what's the average speed over the last 50 years is some good stats. Yeah, the other one, as Brian had mentioned, you know, 2.25 million participants have run it. And the stat that I like that Brian mentioned in one of his presentations, that, you know, that equates to 31.5 billion kilometres and 41 round trips to the moon. So there's some cool fun stats that our marketing team are going to use in particularly this week. And then also things like, ironically, the most common name to run the event was Dave or David, and that is our managing director's name. And the most common name for female was Sarah, and Sarah's our race director for City Surf, who's done it for the last 10 years. So some ironies in that one. And then just the postcode challenge, which I think was one of the lead articles in the Sun Herald, you know, Bondo versus Manly, which is the fastest suburb. So I think there's some fun and games to be played with those sort of analytics. But, you know, it's great to have, you know, the repository of information on 49 years. And, you know, Brian and the team have done a great job in, you know, painstakingly going through it to put it all together, which is great. And now we've got it in, you know, in formats that we can use ongoing, which is terrific.
Absolutely.
If I can just say something there too, when you're doing that analysis, don't forget that in the first couple were 15.12 kilometres, not 14 k's, and it gradually got shorter until 76. So when you're doing that analysis of the you know, the average speed and how different it is the early days, you've got to take that in mind too.
No problems. It might have been 42 trip round trip to the moon then, Chris.
I don't know that it would have made that much difference, but it adds up.
Now, Chris, I want to ask you a final question around fitness and health. Obviously, in COVID times, you know, people are trying to make sure that they're motivated, they're keeping fit. Can you give us some of your secrets and perhaps some advice for our listeners that might be looking to do the run on Sunday?
Well, I don't know their secrets. You just got to get out there and put one foot in front of the other. Look, I like to maintain a sort of regime or regimen, or however you want to say it, of doing at least three runs a week, sometimes four runs a week. And I just do that naturally anyway. That's part of my get up, get out, take the dog for a walk, you know, go for a jog. And I think we should all be doing that sort of thing. And if you do that, running 14 Ks is not a stretch. But in the build up towards it, you know, we're only a week away now, so there's not a lot. If you haven't done it yet, you're probably not going to have much success. You might as well go and have a nice beer.
Thanks, Chris. And thank you, Jeremy and Brian, as well, for joining us today. For those of you who want to find out more about our City to Surf data project that SAP is running, go to sap.com/Australia/City to Surf. That's a city number two, surf. And if you have been inspired by listening to the gentleman talk today to run in this year's virtual event, you still have a little bit of time to register at city2surf. That's also with the number 2.com.au. Thanks very much for listening to the Best Run Podcast.
You've been listening to the Best Run Podcast, brought to you by SAP.